Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to the March 17th audio comments. This is Terry Laundry speaking to you from Nantucket Island. Today we're going to be discussing some natural resources, which is very topical because we're seeing the oil spike up, and quite a few people are signing on to the Hubbert's thesis that we're running out of oil and this is a big deal. I think that it's a much longer story than just some spot comments, but this week we'll delve into some of the details using the three charts which I have posted. The first chart is a unnamed natural resource fund which I happen to own, and I'm not in the business of recommending funds, so I'm going to just say that if you go to the Morningstar link that I provided and you look under the natural resource groups, you'll find there's a lot of very excellent funds in that category. And I picked this one because it's a very steady fund and has very good performance during the last bear market. The second chart, which you can click on to enlarge or drag it to the desktop to print out, is the long wave mega T chart, which I have posted before. But it has three notations on it which are important. These are the green arrows, which point to the time when Homestake Mines, the old classic gold stock, did very well, once in the 30s when the after the Great Depression, when the Dow dropped off T number 6, and the second time is Homestake and oil rose very dramatically during the time of weakness off the top of T number 7, which is a 68 top. And the second one, and the third one, is the old gold, oil, and industrial materials boom, which is occurring as the end of T number 8, which is in 1998. But we also have an S&P 500T with another top in 2000. So the idea behind here is that the what we would call natural resources is a general category, that is things that are in the ground or stores of value, do very well when the T's are expiring. And according to Hubbert's concept, this is the catch-up phase for the scarce resources, what he calls the energy matter system, once the financial, or what he calls the monetary system, has played itself out. The third chart is the short-term S&P 500 chart, and you can see there that the S&P is down to the 55-day moving average, which is 1188, and it needs to hold here, or you're going to end up in the at the 39-week moving average, which is the 1145 area, and that's going to come out pretty much based on what the oil shock is going to be, but we'll watch that carefully. The theory behind these envelopes is there's only two stable states in a bull market. One is 55-day moving average, and the other one is the 39-week moving average, and you just have to guess which one it's going to be, and then act accordingly. Now let's look back at the Natural Resources Fund. The interesting thing about the Natural Resources Fund here is that, as noted in the chart, it's a logarithmic scale. This is one that I've made up of based on quarterly returns, linked together and then plotted logarithmically. Each of the vertical divisions represents a gain of about 22%. If you draw a straight line through this trend, you'll see an appreciation rate of about 20%. This is the goal in all investments. It's called the joy of compounding, where you get 20% per annum growth rates, and over a reasonable period of time, this can grow your wealth quite well. In terms of the mega T's, which were projected to rise from 82 to 98, it was fairly obvious as to how to proceed on the fund area to achieve that 20% per annum growth rate. The problem was that when you ran out of potential in the 1998-2000 time period, the question is, how do you keep money growing? This particular fund is unique in the natural resources area because it's a very steady performer, and I selected it to show you that just because the stock market in the traditional equity sense went into the drain in the period at the end of that eighth mega T, there's no reason why you couldn't have shifted over to a natural resource concept based on another another series of thinking, which Hubbard calls his energy-matter system, and continued the 20% growth rate. And of course, if the T-theory is applied to the CRB index is correct, it basically says that after 20 years of weakness from 1980 to the year 2000, we are now starting a 20-year matching time bull market, which will carry natural resources up from the 2000 starting point to the year 2020. And the point I wanted to make on this is that we could be in the early stages of a very long-term bull market. And if you look at that link, you'll find there are many, many good natural resources funds. If you look at the categories, you'll find that the natural resources is the number one category. The second category, incidentally, is emerging markets. But in many cases, you're going to find out that the emerging markets are really based on commodities or low labor costs. So there's a link here, and that's why Hubbard's concept is so important. It could turn out the emerging markets is basically a commodity play, and therefore is a privy to his analysis. Now let's move on to the long wave mega T charts. I had to use the Homestake mining, which has now been absorbed into Newmont, as the basic indicator. But there are reliable studies showing that the Homestake did very well during the 30s. We do know that oil did very well in the 70s, but that's a Hubbard's peak based on the peak production in the U.S. And we are now in the process of seeing an oil shock coming in, which is very much similar to the 73 time period. And however, in the terms of the Hubbard analysis, you see that's a worldwide peak. And there's a question in people's mind as to whether we're just seeing there isn't any more oil to be discovered, considering that demand is growing faster. And so this is going to become a real crisis and a driver for future investment. The industrial materials is part of the natural resource, along with the water resources, which I found. However, you have to remember that there's a difference between gold, oil, and industrial materials in the sense that you have to have strong economic growth in order to promote higher oil prices, and particularly industrial materials, whereas gold can go on its own even if you have an economic downturn as a result of higher oil prices. They lumped up into natural resources, and I was always wondering whether real estate was incorporated on that, but we'll get to that in a future analysis. Now, for my next topic, I'd like to just make a general comment on the request for information on Marty Schwartz, the super trader. And while I'm on the mega T chart, let me bring you to the essence of the problem here. As you may know, Martin Schwartz was a very fine, very gifted individual with exceptional trading ability, who, starting in 1978, made tremendous amounts of money trading the S&P futures. He wrote a book called Pit Bull in 1998, in which he had some kind things to say about T-theory. The thing that you want to keep in mind when somebody asks me a question and says, what should I do, is that he did this in an extraordinary time period, which is basically the rise of the mega T, in the right side of the eighth mega T. And that period is gone. And so those kinds of results really went with the period. And if you want to be a forward thinker, you have to start to look ahead in other areas, because history won't repeat itself as far as the T's are concerned. Not for some time, anyway. For example, if my T-theory concept was correct, that the 20-year bear market in commodities, which ended in the year 2000, is going to produce a bull market up to the year 2020, and that does develop as is predicted, and Hubbard's concept of a complete washout in the oil production category to the point that we're in a real crisis, where it's very possible that if I'm still around kicking in the year 2020, I could write a book that says how I made $1 zillion investing in natural resources stocks while the whole world slid into a depression based on higher oil prices. Now, I can't say that's true, because we can't say for any certainty that T projection is going to come out right. But if you get to the year 2020 and it's up, somebody's going to write a book like that, and you're going to read it, and somebody's going to say, well, this must be the way to make money is to get into natural resources. But the fact of the matter is, it'll all be over, and therefore you can't just take the books at the end of the move and try to make money out of it. You have to anticipate. Now, in the case of the mega T, the thing that we had going for us coming out of, which started in the 82 low, was we knew that the fundamentals were very good. Price-earnings ratios on the S&P 500 and the dividend yield were at 100-year lows, and you couldn't possibly fail to have some kind of a rally. It just got to be real big for very strange reasons, but we were able to get started on that. In the case of the natural resources, it's the Hubbard's analysis that lead you to conclude that there is a fundamental basis for believing that the world is completely clueless on the fact that the energy is going to run out. Wall Street will never tell people that the oil prices are going to go up because it interferes with their ability to sell stocks, which is basically the old mega T disintegration problem that you have. You've got to get on board with what the future trend is, and I think that if you think about what I'm talking about here, you'll find out that if a person was to trade futures, which I don't recommend, they would be doing it in oil futures now, not in S&P futures. And if you're an investor, you go with the natural resource area. Okay? Now, getting on to our final chart, we have the short range T chart, and there we see the S&P has dropped down to the 55-day moving average, is pushing below it, partly on the oil shock, of course. And the important thing to remember in what I call T-theory envelopes, or envelope theory, I guess is what I call it, there's only two stable resting points within a bull market, which we believe exists until the early part of 07, and that is you either find a low at the 55-day moving average, or you go down to the 39-week moving average, which is 1145. Basically, you just have to decide which is the bottom. There are two possibilities, and you just have to see now whether they want to hold or not. This will take a couple of days, and we'll comment it probably on next week, but you know, if it fails here, it goes to the 1145 area, and it's going to be messy. If it holds in here, it goes back up to some of our upper objectives, and we'll comment on that later. Now, an investor can say, you know, I'm very concerned about the fact that this thing is going down, because if it goes to the bottom, this could do serious damage, and I would become very nervous. The answer to this story is that if you own some natural resource stocks, it turns out the problem that's driving these stocks down is beneficial to the other parts of the portfolio, and therefore you're relatively insensitive to it. And if you do things like that, then you can recapture your life as far as investments are concerned and not worry about it. That's basically what my message is. Okay, that's it for today. We will be back next week with another audio comment. Until then, please send in any comments you have, and I'll try to get around to answering them. Bye-bye.